And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Larry Noble has arrived in Hollywood by plane from New York. He has come here because his friend Tom Bryson, the famous playwright, had wired him that he has a good picture offer to discuss. Larry would have turned the suggestion down in order to be with Mary back in New York during her convalescence from acid burns on her face and hands if he hadn't accidentally found the wire from Tom, which indicated that Mary had urged him to persuade Larry to come to the coast. Right now, Larry has arrived at the hotel where he'll be staying, signed the register, and had his luggage taken to his room. After a shower, shave, and change of clothes, Larry looks at his watch. It's still early in the morning, for Hollywood time, but nevertheless, he calls Tom Bryson's number, and we hear...
Miss Ross speaking.
I'm calling Mr. Tom Bryson. This is Larry Noble. I've just arrived by plane from New York.
Oh, yes, Mr. Noble. I know that Mr. Bryson is expecting you. He's been looking forward to seeing you. But he's still sleeping, and I don't think it's advisable to wake him.
Oh, no, don't wake him. I just wanted to report that I'm here. He's staying at the Beverly Hills, and he can reach me here as soon as he wakes up.
I'll be sure to tell him, Mr. Noble. And you'll most likely hear from him within an hour or so.
Fine. How is he, by the way?
Oh, getting on very well. Of course, it's a slow process with a back injury like his. Takes time and patience.
I wouldn't have credited Tom Bryson with much patience.
Well, I'm his nurse, and he's been very good to look after. And it won't be long now before he can have the cast removed, if everything goes well.
Oh, that's good news. I hear he's been writing a play while he's been laid up.
Yes, Mr. Bryson's kept several secretaries busy taking notes.
Good for him. Well, you ask him to call whenever he has a chance. I can't do anything till I talk to him. He didn't give me any details, so I'm obliged to get the facts from him.
Well, I'll give him your message, Mr. Noble.
Good. I'll be waiting. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Waiting. What a lovely prospect. I hope Tom doesn't take too long, because I think I'll go crazy if I stay in this room locked up with my own thoughts. Yeah? Maybe if I order up breakfast, it'll help kill time. At least it's better than sitting here. Hello? Room service.
And back in New York, Mary Noble has spent a restless night in her room in a New York hospital, where she's heavily bandaged to cover the acid burns she received when a maddened Claudia Vincent made a final attempt at revenge after Mary had found her guilty of the murder for which Larry was charged. And right now, Mary's nurse, Miss Clark, is reading to her from the paper, and we hear...
Well, that's all the headlines, Mrs. Noble. Suppose I turn to the middle of the paper and see if I can find something interesting. Anything at all, Miss Clark? I just like to hear someone read. It's relaxing somehow. Well, I know that I don't read any too well, but you'll just have to put up with me, I guess, now that your husband's gone to California. Yes, I've been thinking about Larry. He must be there by now. I wonder if you'll send me a wire. Well, I should certainly think so. Oh, here's Marty Rufus' gossip column. Do you ever read that? Yes, very often. I never miss it myself. It's so full of spice and excitement. Well, I suppose that's the secret of his success. Now, let me see. Oh, nothing much here. Sometimes he's a big disappointment. Well, of all things, what do you know about this?
What is it? Something interesting?
Well, I guess so. Just listen to this. Broadway star Larry Noble, recently acquitted of a murder charge, is winging to Hollywood while his wife waits in New York Hospital for the verdict on her condition. After being severely burned by acid thrown at her by Claudia Vincent, hot-headed murderess and former protege of the famous matinee idol. Well, what do you know about that? How in the world do you suppose he found out so soon? Oh, I declare that Marty Rufus must have spies all over the city.
Could you read something else, Miss Clark, please? I don't feel like listening to Marty's spiteful copy right now.
Well, of course, Mrs. Noble. But I can't imagine how he could get that in his column so soon. Why, you only knew yourself yesterday afternoon. How do you suppose he does it?
I'm sure I don't know.
Oh, well, now perhaps you'd better try to rest a bit. Your chart shows you had a restless time last night. Maybe if I left you for a bit, you could sleep. Do you think so?
I can try.
Good. I'll just go down the hall and make out your report. And if you want anything, you just press the bell.
And about this same time, we find wealthy Rupert Barlow, financial backer of Larry Noble's last play, coming downstairs in his luxurious home on Long Island at Oyster Bay. He's met by Julia Dixon, his attractive housekeeper, who says...
Good morning, Rupert. You're up and about early this morning.
Yes, why not? It looks like a pretty good day out for a change. I thought I might go down to the shipyard and see what shape my boat is in.
I see. And you're serious about taking a cruise?
I haven't made up my mind, Julia, but it's an idea. Don't expect to be gone for long, just a few weeks.
And when would you leave?
I told you, Julia, I don't know. It all depends.
On what?
Well, good heavens, Julia, on a number of things. I'm not running my life like a train schedule so that I have to plan every minute in advance.
No. I've observed that in the 10 years since I took charge of your household.
One of the greatest things about you, my dear, is your ability to run things, to manage and allow for all kinds of changes of plan. I hope you're not going to let yourself become arbitrary all of a sudden.
Don't worry, Rupert. I will continue to do everything to make your life more comfortable. I certainly don't expect you to tell me your plans in advance.
Confound it, Julia. Now you're being sarcastic again. And it's most irritating.
Oh, please forgive me, Rupert. I'll try to mend my ways and always wear a cheerful smile when you're present. No matter what goes on back of the scenes.
What is it that bothers you now, Julia? I know it must be something because you've been spoiling for an argument ever since I came downstairs. All right, my sweet, let's go into the library. Then tell me what's on your mind.
I suppose you think you're very amusing. But let me tell you that I'm about fed up.
Indeed. Anything specific? Or is it just a general lack of enthusiasm for your work?
It must be wonderful to be like you, Rupert, with all the power of your money and social position back of you. You're entirely invulnerable, aren't you? Nothing can touch you. And you have the greatest contempt for anyone who's forced to be subservient.
Oh, come now, Julia. That's putting it on a little thick, isn't it? Why can't you just say what it is that has you in such a temper and get it over with?
Because you already know. It's that horrible Victor. Why did you have to hire him again and let him swagger around the place creating trouble and discontent with all the rest of the household staff?
Victor, Victor, it's always Victor. In heaven's name, Julia, why can't you let the fellow alone?
Because he disrupts the harmony of the entire staff. Honestly, Rupert, you don't realize how difficult the man makes everything for me.
Since this happens to be my home and run for my comfort and convenience, I think your complaints are a little out of order, Julia.
I see. I'm overstepping my bounds again. How stupid of me to forget that I've been reduced to a purely domestic position. Oh, Rupert, if you'd only remember how it was when you persuaded me to come here to run your household. There was an entirely different agreement. Of course, it was a verbal agreement, and since I've been stupid enough to think that you would one day remember it, and want it...
Look here, Julia. Let's get this one point straight. It's quite true that I admire you more than anyone I know. Ever since you've come into my life, you've been a most important part of it all. And I promise you that when the time is right, I hope to have the honor to make you my wife. But I think it would be in very poor taste to flaunt our romance before the public right now. Particularly when we're so recently out of the difficulties that were created when you brought that young whippersnapper Oliver Wilson back here against my expressed wish.
I see. So you're going to hold Oliver Wilson over my head like a club. All right. Tell me the rest of it, Rupert. Tell me how I tried to use him as a weapon to make you jealous. As if you could ever be jealous of me. And tell me how I came to believe Oliver Wilson's protestations of love. How he jilted me and eloped with Claudia Vincent instead because he thought she was rolling
Julia,
in money.
Julia, if you'll please
and
let
tell me
go.
How I might have been implicated in Oliver's murder if Larry Noble hadn't been even more actively suspected.
Might I say,
and
Julia,
don't
that
forget
I...
to point out that you kept the police from making my life miserable all that time until Mary Noble finally proved Claudia Vincent's guilt.
Julia, if you...
I know what you're going
just...
to say. I know it by heart. What? And I also know why you've re-employed that scoundrel Victor with his miserable following of petty gangsters. Oh, yes, you'll find him very useful now, won't you, Rupert? Of course you'll be taking your boat out again, now that Mary Noble is lying in a New York hospital with her face burned with acid. You wouldn't want to be there now, would you, Rupert? Because Mary might be badly scarred for life.
Julia, stop it, do you hear?
And that's how it's been with everybody. Have you read Marty Rupert's column this morning? Did you see how Mary's devoted husband, Larry, has taken the first plane out to Hollywood?
What's that, Julia?
Here, look at it, Rupert. Larry Noble couldn't take it either. He's gone to Hollywood and you're going on a cruise. It doesn't look as if Mary Noble was in for a very happy time.
Julia Dixon thrusts the newspaper into Rupert Barlow's hands and leaves the room. And Rupert turns eagerly to the column in question. What will his reaction be? Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.